So we're going to go over here the most powerful, or the way that I would say it, my favorite Mets trade deadline moves ahead of the deadline. You give us your Yankee ones.
Yep.
All right, you want to start us off here?
Yeah, I'll get us going in descending order here. And again, not necessarily one that is like the ultimate move to a championship, but that could be it, but also ones that we just really liked and really just enjoyed. Number five for me, Sean Chacon. Going back to the Yankees in 2005. Now, Sean Chacon, when they got him, I remember like, what? What are we doing getting him? He was 1-7 with an ERA over 4. He comes to the Yankees. He goes 7-3 with a 2.80 ERA. Got a start in the postseason. Got a no decision. But he went 7 innings, and he gave up a couple of runs here. The Sean Chacon, it was short-lived, but the Sean Chacon magic was kind of fun for the Yankees.
You know, I'm going to go number 5 here, and I know this is definitely recency bias, but the way that I'm giving you my Power 5 is based on my feelings of excitement at the trade deadline, not based on the results. And for the record, Hernandez, Piazza, not exactly deadline. I was too young in 83 anyway. Piazza was in May of 98, not at the trade deadline, so I'm leaving those out. So specific trade deadline trades that the Mets made that got me excited. And yesterday was honestly up there. Now, it was a combination of both Rogers and Helsley, but Helsley was the one that really put me over the top of excitement of the Mets going for it. It was an area of need. We all begged for it. We asked for it, and they delivered. So I know it's early, and there's a long history of trades at the trade deadline, but I really do think if you were doing this segment in 10 years from now, yesterday would have been on there. I'll go Helsley as number 5.
And you had the exciting tweet to match it, so you were pretty pumped up when that came through. You punctuated. I got you. Number 4 for me, it was a good Yankee. A couple of different stints, obviously. Dave Robertson, this is an under-the-radar one. You go back to the 2017 season, comes in, and they get him, and he goes 5-0 with an ERA that was barely over 1. That 2017 team was a lot of fun. You know, they should have won. Things happened, and we would look very differently on it. Listen, David Robertson had some really good years, but, I mean, imagine if he was a World Series champ. They were a game away from getting to the World Series in 2017. Robertson was lights out when they got him.
I'm going to go number 4 for me, Sean Dunston. Remember when the Mets got him in 1999?
I almost don't remember that. Jesus.
Yeah, so the Sean reason, Dunston. There's a couple of here on the list from 99 because it was an active trade deadline, and you have to remember, the Mets hadn't made the postseason. 98, they fell short. 99, it was a postseason team, but they needed to put the finishing touches on there, so they were very active at the trade deadline. I remember loving it, and they brought in Sean Dunston, just a veteran guy, play a little shortstop, just a veteran player for them that they could use, a versatile player at that point in his career, the rifleman with the Cubs.
Oh, great arm.
Yeah, and he was a useful piece for them at the 99 deadline, so maybe not as impactful, but a solid bench player that raised the floor and helped them get to the postseason, so I would have Sean Dunston coming in at number 4.
Brooklyn guy. Actually, the team that he played for growing up is the team that I played for growing up, the Cadets. He's a Brooklyn guy. And, you know, playing with Rhino out there in Chicago, a lot of respect. Had a great arm. I think he was, third overall pick? He was top 3. All right, number 3 for me, Dave Justice. First of all, Dave Justice brought a whole lot of swag when he came to the Yankees. And, you know, this was in 2000. Obviously, the Yankees won the World Series that year. He wins the American League Championship Series MVP. Couple of big home runs, and it just brought a lot of juice and a lot of flair and a lefty stick that connected on some big bombs. David Justice, number 3 for me.
All right, number 3 for me. This is one of my favorites. Now, again, I'm not basing it on the results, but I remember being beyond ecstatic at the time. 1997 trade deadline. Mets were going nowhere, but they made a big move acquiring second baseman Carlos Baerga from the Indians. Now, they gave up a boatload. One of my favorite players was Jose Vizcaino. They gave him up. They gave up Jeff Kent, obviously. Baerga at that point, though, was a three-time All-Star. Mm-hmm. He was one of the best second basemen in baseball.
On good Indians teams, too. Good teams.
Yeah, I loved it so much that, like, he was a star. Now, remember, this is the 97. This is pre-Piazza.
I understand.
Like, post-86, the 92, 93, awful Mets, building it back up, the strike years. Like, 97, the Mets didn't have any stars. Baerga, that was a big move. So much so that I was so excited I went and got a Baerga jersey.
You did,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, they went the authentic jersey. I loved Baerga, although he didn't do anything. We know Kent is a Hall of Famer.
Ugh.
No, of course he fell apart, much like Robbie Alomar.
Yes.
Vizcaino was a good player. You know, beat the Mets, of course, in 2000 in the World Series. But that, at the time of the deadline, got me excited. 1997, Carlos Baerga, that's number 3.
Listen, I saw him a lot against the Yankees, obviously, in the 90s into the mid-90s. And there were a couple of years he was a stud. I mean, he hit 312, 321, 314. Back-to-back years, and then he slipped a little bit, obviously, and went to the Mets, and it just did not work out. So I remember that very well. Number 2 for me, I mean, just one of the great figures of the game. When he hit him, I mean, maybe Canseco, maybe Big Mac. I mean, how many people hit balls in Judge further than Cecil Fielder when he connected? And when Cecil Fielder first got here, that was July 31, 1996. You know, that was an important move for the Yankees. They wound up winning the championship that year, and Yankee fans will certainly remember this when you get to this before DH and all that stuff. So when the Yankees go to Atlanta down 2-0, they made the decision to sit Tino Martinez, and they played Cecil Fielder because the Yankees, you know, even though Tino was a superior fielder, he wasn't swinging the bat well, and Cecil hit 300 in the World Series. I remember him had a rocket base hit to right field. And Cecil, number two, he became a champion with the Yankees.
Love Cecil Fielder. Yeah, I mean, the Yanks, that's when they were loaded up, obviously, all those years. All right, number one, and we are almost out of time here. We're keeping you up to date on what's going on with the trade deadline stuff as well. I'm up to number two, right? Number two for me was when the Mets got Darryl Hamilton in 1999. We mentioned the active trade deadline. Now, Hamilton was here in 2000 as well. He was one of my favorite players. He was clutch, man. He got some big hits in the postseason. Mets active in the 99 trade deadline. They traded Brian McCray and a couple of pitchers for Hamilton, who was their center fielder, and just the late Darryl Hamilton. Obviously, yeah. He's passed. No one has passed away.
Sad.
Also had a Hamilton jersey myself because
how many jerseys did you have?
Yeah, I used to get a lot. At least one a year. But I remember loving him. It was the number 18 without a name on the back when the Mets had that for a period of time there. Uh-huh. But the reason why I loved him is every clutch at bat, it felt like he came up in the postseason. He delivered. That was a big-time acquisition. Not a big name, but Hamilton a pro and helped the Mets in big spots.
All right, well, this is a big name and been a big name for both teams. We love them, both sides of town, but David Cone. I mean, David Cone coming in 95 to the Yankees, July of 95. So you got to understand where the Yankees were. This obviously, you know, years after the disgusting years with Stump Merrill. And then, of course, Dick Michael builds it back up. And to me, this was the move that validated, even though the Yankees didn't win anything in 95, they lost a five-game series to Seattle in the wild card, as we know, flushing down that big lead in the end of Donnie's career. But to me, like, you think about, like, that slow, incremental growth, like Gallego and Wade Boggs and obviously a diminished Mattingly. You just had some pros. Like, it was a fun team. O'Neill comes. And then, to me, David Cone was the move where it's like, all right, we are going for a championship. Now, they didn't get it the first year, and Buck kept him in too long in Seattle, throwing 55-foot, you know, sliders in the dirt. He was shot. He gave it his best. But that eventually paid off and just had the aneurysm at a perfect game, and then they pulled him at Oakland. But David Cone, as gutsy and as big a sack as anybody I've ever seen pitch for either team.
He'd make the Blue Jays list, too. And Coney, of course, wants Yankee fans to give Anthony Volpe a standing ovation.
What do you think about that? I'm not a big fan of it.
I think it's a little soft, but I understand it. I don't think it would hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe he would benefit from it. I wouldn't be opposed to it. My number one, this is the no-brainer, Cespedes. I mean, come on, dude. We were dying for the Mets to go get a bat, begging Sandy Alderson, go get a bat. Please go get a bat. The team has pitching. You need to get back to the postseason and be taken seriously. Go get a bat at the final seconds of the deadline after the whole botched Wilmer Flores thing. Mm-hmm. They go out and get Cespedes. And that truly is what you want from every trade deadline deal. An impact bat like that, superstar coming here and then having that impact on the team, taking them to a whole nother stratosphere. That, to me, is going to be tough to beat and be topped as far as the trade deadline goes. So Cespedes, no doubt, number one.
That's a big one. He was absolutely sick. I can still see the neon arm sleeve. He brought the swag, too. He had a rocket. He hit bombs. He was good.
Everybody was excited with the move, and then it panned out. All right, Heyman, here's the latest here before we say goodbye. John Heyman just posting on Twitter, Mets are not close on Luis Robert Jr. at the moment. Not out of the question. White Sox, it's not out of the question that the White Sox hold Robert and consider picking up the $20 million option for 2026. Now, I guess Feinstein had that as well. Heyman also said center field remains a Mets priority and Mullins would be a possibility there. That could also be posturing from the White Sox part. I'll call their bluff and say they're not going to pick up the $20 million option on Robert for next year.
I'd be surprised if he's back. I agree with that. I think that, and I don't know if the Mets will get him, but it seems like if Luis Robert is dealt, I mean, I'd say 70% Mets seem like the team he's going to, or maybe San Diego, as we touched on. Yeah. I think he's going to be a Met. I think the Yankees are going to get Bednar from Pittsburgh and a good back, you know, four-ish type starting pitcher. I don't think the Yanks are getting a bat. They already got McMahon as a fielder to play third base, and he's been hitting pretty well. I think that I'm going to be happy tomorrow And I think you're going to be thrilled because I think you're going to pretty much, going back to the start of this, I think you're going to pretty much have everything that you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, there's more to be done here with the Mets and obviously with the Yankees as well, just 3 hours away. So, you know, the waiting game continues. This is probably down. I don't want to say the final posturing pieces here, but it's, you know, you're getting down to where, you know, you got to make a move. So Stearns may be waiting out the White Sox in this particular case. And obviously, you know, you're gonna, if you wait it out and then maybe make a move and go to Cedric Mullins, not ready to do that yet with 3 hours. But once they feel like it's officially done and they've reached their limit, then they go get Mullen.